Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Now, who knows who that is? Who knows what that is?
Well, it's not Murder, She Wrote.
No, it's not.
And it's not the Hardy Adams
Boys.
Family.
It's the Hardy Boys Nancy Drew Mysteries music from the NBC Mysteries Sunday, I believe it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
150 years ago. Welcome to the Writer's Block, and this is LA Talk Radio. I am, of course, your errant host, Jim Christina, broadcasting to you live from my little hovel in Star, Idaho, and of course, on the phone with me is Bobby Jean Bell, broadcasting from her little hovel in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yes, I am here.
And, you know, before we get going, I have to tell you, Bobby, from time to time, and actually quite often these days, I get an opportunity to be interviewed by some really good mm-hmm. interviewers. Mm-hmm. And tonight is no different. I actually got lucky and was interviewed by a wonderful woman. And she actually is sitting on the other line right now, waiting for us to talk to her, Christine Raymond. And I had such fun with Christine, and it was just like wonderful to be able to get her on the show with us, because, you know, paybacks are, you know what they are, right? Paybacks are always a lot of fun. So it wasn't until later in life that Christine Raymond figured out that she wanted to be when she grew up. An epiphany that occurred in 2013 when she sat down and began writing her very first book. 16 books in multiple genres later, she's added the title of podcasting host to her resume, thus assuring that she will never be idle. Well, I mean, that's the truth. Everybody got a radio show. When a spare moment does present itself, she fills it by navigating the publishing and promotional side of the business. When not doing that, she spends time with her husband and fur babies, not necessarily in that order. I know the feeling. I spend a lot of time with my fur baby, too, which is, her name is Bella, and reads and binge watches Netflix. Oh, my God, so do I. Isn't that just the best?
Yeah.
Find out more about Christine and her website on www.christineraymond.com and follow her on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and BookBub. And welcome to the Writer's Block, Christine Raymond.
Well, thank you for having me. And
the wrestling.
A little bit worse about that payback.
I wondered if we were going to get applause.
I don't know. Well, here. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Everybody's okay. You know, I have to tell you, Chris, and I did listen to the show that we did, and it was so much fun. I didn't realize that I had that much fun talking to you, but I did.
Mm-hmm. And it comes across to the listener like me.
Well, yeah. But, you know, she's a good interviewer, and you know, we had a lot of good times. And of course, she writes a lot of romantic Westerns and sets them in Arizona. And I, of course, write bloody, you know, nasty Westerns and set them in Arizona.
Around the same area.
So Christine is living proof that there is romance in Arizona in the 1880s.
Well, so, you know, I found romance in Arizona because that's where I met my husband.
That's right.
And a happy ending has been enjoyed by all.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
You're just lucky, Christine.
I remind him of that every day.
Yeah, I'm saying it's just lucky, Christine, that Jim didn't write about you and your husband in one of his books, because one or the other of you would not have made it out alive.
I might have. You know, the hunter has a lover in the first part of Still Waters.
Yes, I know. And she's not with us very long.
and they actually have sex.
Yeah, I know. Which never happens in a cozy mystery.
Well, it never happens in my books either, except for one time.
Well, that's true. It doesn't happen.
Men are not chaste. They just aren't bothered by it, I guess. Anyway, we just finished, Bobby and I both just finished reading this book of yours. And it is, of course, and it's a Finn find mystery. It's called Finagled. And Finn's Finds, of course, is an antique shop in a little town in the Northeast. And tell us a little bit about this book, because I absolutely love this book.
It was so fun.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, you know, the character for Finn just kind of came to me, as our characters often do, you know, not necessarily planning for anything. And I just fell in love with her. And I grew up in New England and decided that would be a perfect place for her to have her home and her antique store and her family and her basset hound. And it just kind of went from there. I wasn't originally planning it to be a cozy mystery. I almost thought that it might be a thriller. But the more I started writing it, it's like, no, this needs some to be a little more lighthearted, a little more fun. And yeah, I think I achieved that. I love that book, honestly. Not to brag on it, but so far it is my favorite out of all that I've written.
Really?
Is it? Yeah.
Well, that's not surprising. It is. But you use, we talked about this the other night too, and but you use a lot of words that a lot of people don't use anymore, and and I mean, one of them being kerfuffle. We talked about that one, and you know, all the way through the book, I have to tell you, Christine, all the way through the book, I kept waiting for you to come up with a cat named Piwacket. But you never did.
No, I never did. No cats yet.
No, mm-hmm. But you do have a dog that has propitia.
Yes, alopecia. Yeah.
Alopecia. Yeah.
Alopecia. Yeah. I own a basset hound named Bruno, and he suffers from color mutant alopecia, and that's why Finn's dog Garfunkel suffers from the same thing, because I can identify with her, and I know she just loves her furless baby as much as I love mine.
There you go. It must be common to the breed, because my best friend was when he was in Tennessee, had like eight.
Oh my goodness!
Bassets, and wow. And two of them had alopecia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually common to dark hair dogs. It's pretty common in Dobermans, in blue Dobermans, dogs that have the what they consider the blue genes for the coat, not blue jeans, but the gene for blue color.
I have some on right now. So.
it's kind of a common thing. But as I say in the intro to my book, it affords me the opportunity to dress him up in whimsical sweaters.
Yeah.
I am that mom.
I love that. And I loved your
necessity, because.
And I loved your comment about the name of your dog. When the guy walks, I named him terrible at, but he comes in and he sees a dog, and and you say, what's his name? Garfunkel, as in Simon. As in Simon Annie, and you say as in.
I like that you introduce us to Lance pretty early in the book. And we don't, it takes a moment for us to understand. Tell us about Lance.
that whole thing just kind of, again, just came to me. Finn is very quirky and very energetic, and it just seemed to me that she would be the type of person to name her car, and she just absolutely loves her brand new Mazda Miata, mm-hmm. and the name Lance just came to me.
Her white knight.
Well, Garnet, because, you know,
the horrible secret about most people is we all name our cars. We just don't talk about
You know, I never have. I've never named my cars.
Oh, come on. I was named Griselda.
It must be something men do. I don't know, Christine. We've never named our cars either.
but I actually had a guitar. Yeah, I actually had a guitar named Griselda too. So.
Yeah.
So, but tell us a little bit about this book, because it was an absolute joy to read.
Well, thank you. Well, okay. So Finn's Find, as you mentioned, is the name of Finn's antique store, and that is her baby, much to her mother's dismay, because her mother wants grandchildren, not an antique store. But so Finn has this store, and she's very happy in the town she grew up in, which is Port New, a little coastal town tucked away on the New England coastline. And she's just kind of going along with her life, not really thinking about the future too much or anything. She's very happy where she is. And this one day, this man walks in, somebody she doesn't recognize, not a member of the community, and he has this antique that she absolutely falls in love with, mm-hmm. and offers it to her, and she knows that the deal's a little too good to be true, but she can't resist buying it from him. And after he leaves and she's studying it, a piece of paper falls from it that has this coded message on it, and that's what leads her into the mystery part of the story. Because she just, you know, what do you do when a coded message falls to your feet? You try to decode it. You want to know what it says. You want to know what it's about.
Sure.
And to complicate matters a little bit, there's someone else that knows about the message, who makes a little bit of trouble along the way. And also her high school crush, whom she hasn't seen in 15 years since graduation, just shows up and asks her out on a date. So she has a lot going on all of a sudden.
Yeah, for a girl who lives in Port New, that, I mean, the guy fell asleep naming the town.
There's a lot of me in this book. Again, for the people who know me and know who I am, I grew up in the town.
Whoa, did we miss you? Did we lose you?
Did we lose her? Hello?
Might have.
Uh-oh.
She just went, whoop.
Yeah.
Well, Ronan, see if we can get her back.
Oh, yeah, my screen is saying that number left.
Yep, mine too.
Oh.
I'm back.
Oh, there you are.
We thought we had a mystery on our hands.
We did.
Yeah, really. No. And anyway, I grew up in the town next to Newport, Rhode Island. So uh-huh. that's the play on words of Port New. And that's why she says that she really just thinks the founding fathers got that backwards.
Well, yeah.
She's a wonderful storyteller. She doesn't ever take a breath, pretty much. And she takes us on little tangents and then gets back to the story. My husband would say that I probably speak a lot like her, and that I always need to tell him the entire story, and I often will forget what I set out to share. I couldn't help but wonder, was it tough editing? Because there's like no punctuation to speak of. So when you're going back through to kind of edit her, was that a challenge for you or not?
Not so much. Honestly, I edit as I go. So by the time I get to the end of the book, the beginning of the book is pretty clean, except for like a last pass through to make sure there aren't any spelling errors, punctuation, anything like that. So it just, she just kind of flowed from me.
Yes, she does.
It was just the most natural thing just to put that character down on paper.
Well, she has an absolutely wonderful habit of prefacing everything by side comments, which is really great. Because you really know where her brains are most of the time.
And you get little backstories to everybody, like JoJo, and just other things where not necessarily a major character, JoJo, but told us enough about her that we don't really need anymore.
Well, yeah, it's like, what is she on, fourth or fifth divorce now? So apparently Finn is not above being catty either.
Yeah, she has her moments. She has her moments. I just absolutely love her. I'm not sure where she came from, but I'm glad that she developed in my brain.
She's a great character. She really, truly is.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, she did. She didn't know what shoes to wear to the cemetery, though. I
love that.
I did wonder, you know, she knows she's taking off in the middle, you know, in the dark. She knows where she's going. And I'm not sure what shoes she was wearing, but she did want us to know that she did not have the proper shoes.
Right. I have the wrong shoes for the cemetery.
She's funny.
I mean, we all of us writers have our favorite characters. I mean, and they show, and they really show us, and they shine. They shine in a story, whether they're the main character or not. You can always tell when a writer has got his main fun character in there. And mine is Kieran O'Connor, my little bandy Irishman. There are so many others that, you know, that are fun to write and to read other writers we've read. You can always tell when they're having a lot of fun with their characters.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And this character, you knew she was having a lot of fun writing her.
Oh, yeah. I laughed a lot during this book.
Oh, we laughed a lot reading it. So.
And I assume there are more Finn. We've got more Finn books coming, correct?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
This will be a series, not in the sense that each book, each book can be a standalone, but there will be a set of them. I actually have, is it five storylines?
Oh, wow.
Kind of sort of plotted out already.
Well, you can't leave Finn hanging. You got to bring her back.
Or Spencer. We need to know what happens to them.
Yeah, we need to know if they actually do get.
Or is she going to dangle that through the five books?
Oh, she probably will.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm working on Finicky Eaters.
Oh,
and
cute.
Finn, F-I-N. Okay, got. Oh, yeah.
I wondered if you'd always start with Finn like that.
Yeah.
You know,
all of the titles will have the word Finn in them.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. How funny.
So I'll give you a preview of even like a couple more. One is An Affinity for Murder. And another one is Shark Finn.
Ah.
And I won't tell you what those are about. But in Finnick Eaters, Grandma Lena gets accused of murder.
Ooh.
Grandma Lena with the pierogi?
Yeah. Yes. And so Finn has to kind of try to clear that mess up. Because,
gotcha.
Of course, nobody believes her that there's something going on. That's the only thing. She's so flighty that the people around her friends and family, tend not to take her seriously.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, and we saw that with her best friend, who's a cop detective. And who is so the opposite of her. You know, we don't get a lot of dialogue.
Right.
And I think, well, two girlfriends, you know, you do sort of can't have everybody being as expressive as one, you know. It's always got to be the counterpart. But she doesn't, that friend, I was kind of surprised that she was not not really believing her. She finally, you know, gets it. So that told me that maybe Finn has been a bit of a storyteller for a lot of their years of friendship.
Well, I hate to put you ladies on hold for just a moment, but we need to run a little word for LA Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you're like me and you love talk radio, but you just can't find anything worth listening to in that pesky little AM dial, then how about this? How about you tune into LA Talk Radio? You see, LA Talk Radio is the biggest and the best in LA and is a .com, so we have it all, from sports to music to self-help to, well, just about anything, including talk. And right now, it's coming right at you. Why don't you sit back and enjoy at www.latalkradio.com.
And we are back with Bobby Jean Bell and, of course, Christine Raymond on the phone from the great state of Kentucky. And if you would like to call and talk to Christine tonight, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. And as soon as somebody calls in, Ronan will just pop it up on the screen for me, and we'll answer the call and just see what you got to say. Okay, back to our conversation, ladies.
Well, Bobby, you were talking about Zara O'Hara, which is Finn's best friend. And for me, when I wrote it, and it's funny because you said that you kind of noticed that she didn't really believe her, and I've had a couple of readers comment about that. And from my point of view as writing it, it was that being a police officer, Zara's really bound by following the rules. So she is looking at this information that Finn's giving her, but she's filtering it through that cop mind. Like, okay, I know what makes sense, and what she's telling me is more fanciful. It's funny as an author to hear the impressions that readers get by things that you write.
Well, it's like she almost takes being a cop to the next highest level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, she definitely was a cop. There's no doubt there. Well, you know, I love you, Finn, serious. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's serious about her job.
Oh, boy. But her partner's another great character. Her partner's, even though he's not in it a lot, but he's really good.
He's very good. Yeah. And someone you could develop down the road, I suppose.
Well, and that's it. Writing a book in the way where Finn has to be in every scene because she's the one narrating it.
Right. First person.
It was very interesting pulling in the secondary characters in such a way that I really couldn't have them take over, because Finn was more the focus of the entire book. So, and it's the first book that I wrote that way. So it was a challenge.
Well, I suppose because we've asked this question quite a lot, quite often, actually, and whether writers prefer first person or third person writing. And so now I guess we know as far as you go, but what is your thoughts on that particular differentiate, you know what I mean?
Well, for the Finn's Finds mysteries, it needs to be first person. I mean, I'll keep up with that. And it just seems like that is how that book needed to be told. But I also like third person too, which is how all my other books are physical. So I really think it just depends on the story and honestly what the characters, how they want me to write their story. Because we all know that all of our books are character driven.
Well, absolutely. I mean, is there any other way, really, when you think about it?
No. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that, I'm just the one writing down what they tell me.
Yeah, it's almost like being in a trance and automatic writing. You know, you just tell their story. They're telling you, you put it on paper.
That's right.
I have a question maybe just for, in case we have any audience listeners that don't really know what is a cozy mystery versus a non-cozy mystery. What are some of the elements that make this a cozy mystery?
For a cozy mystery, first, the crime, the murder happens off the page. So it's okay to say that the characters found a dead body or they're looking at a corpse, but as far as the manner and how the person died, you don't want to describe that the person was stabbed to death and actually describe the stabbing or the shooting or whatever the cause of death may be. And another thing, and I'm not sure if this is a hard and fast rule, but in all of the cozies that I have read or that I know about, there usually is an animal in them. That's mm-hmm. just that mm-hmm. readers of cozy mysteries expect either a cat or a dog or mm-hmm. I guess maybe a ferret. I don't
know. A ferret?
A bird, oh. Yeah. You know, in most cases, you know, there's an animal in it. And again, they're kind of a lighthearted type story. And the other thing too, if there is romance, again, that's something that's off the page. There aren't sex scenes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think with all genres, there's kind of those basic guidelines that you, as an author, you sort of feel like you have to stay within to make it be that true genre.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you want to write the story how you want to write it. So it's a very interesting sort of thing. I mean, when I was writing the scenes between Finn and Spencer, coming off of writing 14 books that were of a romantic nature, that were anywhere from PG-13 to R rated, I kept having to pull myself back a little bit on their scenes because I needed to make sure that I wasn't writing it as a romance. I had to keep in mind that this was a mystery first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's probably not a lot of cast of characters seem a little more, you know, like we were, Jim, in the interview that you guys did together the other day, you were reminding, we were talking about Demon Scroll and how many characters, and it was sci-fi. It was not like a cozy mystery, but it occurred to me that in this book, not only is it a fast read because you want to know what's happening, so you are right. reading it quickly, but also the story is told in less pages, which probably means you don't really need a lot of characters. So you're right. working with a more finite number of characters.
Or you don't need a lot of information about the characters.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you talk about her mother and her father and her grandmother and her grandfather, but you don't really get into their story. And you don't really need to because we all have mothers and fathers and grandparents.
Right, we get enough and from
we,
a little
we
bit
totally
of
we totally get it. And these happen to be Russians. So Polish.
No, they're Polish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Polish. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like mine were Italian and you know, they probably were the same. Probably knew each other.
Probably. Well, that's it. And again, because it's being told in first person.
Sure.
All of the characters have to be somebody that Finn comes across. So she'll have, you know, that brief interaction with someone who comes into her store to buy an antique bedpan or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, oh, yeah. The tourist.
Something I want to spend my money on.
But as far as the deep scenes, I mean, she's pretty much interacting with one person at a time. So it's
right.
not like you can bring in a huge cast of characters kind of
right.
thing.
Right.
I think the hospital scene was probably where I had everybody all together.
You did. You had them all in the room.
In the mustard colored gown with the little purple.
Oh my God, and the back open. Oh, I love it.
Oh my God. Twice.
Having been in many of those before, I get it.
Oh, that was so much fun.
You have wonderful attention to detail.
But one of the things that you do, and then I kind of almost want to break away to talk about your other aspects of writing, is in this particular story, you don't make the periphery people important, and a lot of writers, and I don't know how you feel, Christine, but I feel that a lot of times Bobby and I read a book a week, and sometimes they're really big books, and sometimes they're full of people. And it seems like the writer goes out of their way to every person you meet in that book. You have to have a full backstory. You have to have this. You have to have that. And my God, you spend most of your time learning about people you're never going to see again in the book. you know what I mean? And
yeah.
It happens a lot. And I guess to that particular writer or that group of writers, it's important. But you didn't make it important. It was important for you to introduce them. Leave them in the corner and let's tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
By golly.
Yeah, we need to read more cozy mysteries, Jim, because that book a week thing is sometimes, you know, it was really refreshing to sit down with 127 pages or something.
I know.
I can read this on Sunday afternoon.
I mean, we sit down with books that are 400 or 500 pages and you go, how the hell am I going to get to this thing in a week?
But we do. And we enjoy it.
To a degree. I mean, sometimes it's a chore. That's being honest. Let's take a real quick break here. And Ronan, if you would, please, let's hear a little bit about Out West.
Oh.
Try to get Ronan. Can we have Out West?
It's okay. We can just keep talking.
Okay.
It's okay. We have so much to talk with her about. It's okay.
He must have fallen asleep there at the control
board.
Right.
It's all right. All good.
Well, it's your commercial, Bobby. What the hell?
It's okay. I'll give my time. Give my time to Christine.
The Writer's Block is sponsored by Out West Shop, your online portal to great Western apparel. Log on to outwestshop.com to see the latest in men's and women's Western and country Western inspired apparel and accessories. Click on Out West Live for on-demand live Western music concerts, Western music and equestrian lifestyle radio show podcasts, as well as this one, The Writer's Block. Why not listen while you shop? Use coupon code RADIO to save on your purchases this month. OutWestShop.com delivers the West to you no matter where you hang your hat, door to door and around the world. Remember, it's always a great day out West.
Boy, and I've been listening to that for nigh on 10 years now.
No, not that long. We've only been back on the air since September something.
That's how Bobby Jean used to answer the phone at their store in Newhall. Hey, it's always a great day.
It's always a great day out West.
That's it. Yep. So anyway, it's a great, I'll tell you what, you can't find better Western wear anywhere. Go to Out West.
Thank you.
My plug for you, Bobby Jean.
There you go.
Suck it up. Okay. We are back in the studio. We have, of course, on the line, Christine Raymond, a wonderful author, and her Finn's Finds Finagled, and of course her dog with alopecia, Garfunkel, and oh my God, it's such a fun book. So let's get into your writing style. And when you first started writing, what was your goal when you first started to put pen to paper? Or your first idea to write, what was your goal? Did you have a book in mind or short story or what?
My goal was just to write a book just to see if I could do it. I never had aspirations to be an author. Wasn't something I ever thought about. And a friend of mine had self-published a couple of books and was telling me about the process. And I thought, that sounds kind of interesting. That sounds fun. Let me see if I can do it. So I sat down Labor Day weekend in 2013 and started writing Here to Stay, which is a historical Western romance. And the reason that I picked that genre is because I absolutely love the Old West. I absolutely adore it. I have since I was a kid, grew up watching all the Westerns. Kids would be outside playing on Saturday afternoons, and I'd be in front of the TV watching Saturday afternoon Westerns. Just loved it. And that I didn't even have to put any thought into knowing that that was the genre I was going to write.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I knew nothing about the process. I didn't know anything about word count or chapter length or anything. I just sat down and started writing the story that came to me.
Uh-huh.
And my original intention was just to write one book. Again, just to see if I could, just to do it. But as I was writing Here to Stay and creating this fictional town of Hidden Springs and these characters, the secondary characters started telling me they wanted their own stories. So by the time I was finished with the first book, I already knew I was writing two more. And by the time I was writing those two, the whole rest of the series came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nine books. So,
yeah. Well, don't you find that that one leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, leads to another? And I mean, because as I'm writing, I like when I started with The Hunter and then Requiem with Appaloosa. And now I'm up to, I don't even know what I'm up to now. I don't know, Jefferson's Chance. And a new one coming out soon, I hope, if I can finish it. But everything is kind of intertwined. You know, the genre of the Old West, I'm like you, Christine. I absolutely love the Old West. And I found that in order to write the Old West, you have to know the Old West. And
yeah.
Having lived in Arizona for a while and me having crawled all over the state, it's, you know, you find yourself in places that, golly, nobody even knows about this place. So isn't that fun?
It's awesome. I mean, I can't say enough great things about Arizona and just the West and the country west of the Mississippi. I mean,
right. It's so big.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah.
It's so huge. And it's like you think, how the hell can we ever run out of room?
I know.
You know, you can drive for a day and not see anything,
yeah.
Which is amazing to me. Well, Bobby Jean, you're there in New Mexico. I mean, it's kind of
yes.
The same for you.
Well, and it's a state we really have yet to begin to explore, even though we've been here almost 2 years now, you know, and there's so much here. And the history, of course, is so fascinating.
Oh, the history in New Mexico is huge.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was, 10 years in there where the whole state was at war. So, in fact, they still are over water.
Well, the West is sort of at war over water, or will be. will be.
When you're writing, Christine, when do you like to write? Do you have a word count in mind daily or weekly that you like to accomplish, or you just sit down and catch as catch can?
Yeah, it varies. I don't set a specific word count. I don't write every day. There are times that I don't write for weeks. It really depends on when the muse hits and when I'm in that zone, I can get a story written fairly quickly within a matter of weeks. But the process leading up to that, I can work on it and kind of pick at it and sit down and try to develop things, and that process can take months,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
Finicky Eaters is doing. Because as much as I love Finn and I know what the story's about, it's just not pulling together the way I want it to. So
right. Right. Do you outline or are you a pantser?
I'm a pantser. I always know who my main characters are. I know what I want to have like the major plot line of the story. I have to know that going in.
Right.
And then I usually know my opening pretty well. And for some reason in Sneaky Eaters, that's what's holding me up, which is kind of a problem, because if I can't get the opening done, I can't get the rest of the book done. But right. Usually I'm good for the first four or five chapters, and it's the middle that is a problem for me. But anyway, I usually have an idea of how I want it to end, but rarely does a book end the way I think it's going to. Because, again, once I start writing, I just let the characters take free reign, and they tell me what's going to happen.
Sure,
Jim, it sounds like she might be struggling a little bit with our big question that we like to ask.
Well, I'm going to ask one more, and then I'm going to let you okay. ask the big one.
Okay.
If I were a new writer, and this show is geared towards new writers, and we have most of our audience is new writers or are new writers. If I were to ask you for advice, what advice would you give me as a new writer?
As a new writer, I would say, listen to all of the advice that you can, and then don't be afraid to do it your own way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be learned from every single author out there, but everyone does it their own way, and that's okay. You're not supposed to be anybody else. You're not supposed to write like me. A new author's not supposed to write like Jim Christina or Stephen King or Sandra Brown or anybody else out there. You're supposed to write like you write.
Right.
And that's the thing that I think gets to a lot of authors, is they think they're supposed to be doing it a certain way. They're supposed to do a certain word count or a certain chapter or outline a certain way or this or this or this. No, you know, soak in all the information you can, because you get a lot of good ideas, and there's a lot of things that you say, hey, you know, I never thought of that. Let me try it. Let me see if I can incorporate that. And maybe it works and maybe it doesn't.
Right.
But what it comes down to is just find what works for you and go with it.
Well, I totally agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of writers that try to fit like John Sanford or Craig Johnson or something into their style, and it doesn't fit them. It doesn't work for them because they're not them.
Right. Exactly. You know,
and Bobby Jean, you notice how she threw my name in there?
I did notice that.
And you notice that I made the top of her list.
I did notice that. I found your interview very easily. And you know, while we're on that for a moment, your podcast, congratulations, you're coming up on a year, girlfriend, October 31st of 2018. Oh my gosh. That's celebration time.
Well, you do what we've always tried to do in this show, is make people at ease and get them to talk about what they do best.
That's it. I mean, honestly, my guests are the ones that carry the show. It's not me. I just sit and listen. I have wonderful guests. I just celebrated the 100th episode. That was on October 2nd. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because you do more than one a week, obviously.
I do two a week.
Yep. Two a week, yeah. Wow.
On Wordplay Wednesday.
Yep. We couldn't do two a week.
No, we couldn't get the books read.
I couldn't get the books read. Okay, Bobby Jean, hit it.
So, do you experience writer's block? And if you do, what do you do to get through it?
I do experience writer's block. I don't necessarily call it writer's block, but I have not found anything to do to get through it. Honestly, my stories develop when they develop. I've tried all different techniques. I've tried taking advice of other authors. I've tried both, you know, stepping away and writing with pen and paper instead of sitting at a computer. I've tried, you know, writing next to water or just all sorts of things. And honestly, if it's not pulling together for me, it's just not pulling together. And the more I try to force it, the more frustrated I become and stressed out I become. And that pulls me further away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that if I just let it go, not worry about it, not worry about being on a deadline, and I'm self-published, I make my own deadlines, so I miss them all of the time. But I just kind of take a step back, and then, you know what? I will wake up one day and be like, okay, this is the day. And I sit down and I write and I get the book done.
Well done. Let's take a real quick break here. And Ronan, if you wouldn't mind, let's hear a little bit about Creative Edge.
To all of the fellow authors out there, have you ever asked yourself these questions? I've published a book. Now what do I do? How do I get the word out, find readers, and get reviews? How do I organize a book signing, or who do I contact to get media attention and interviews? Well, you're not alone, and a solution can be found with Creative Edge Publicity. Creative Edge is a boutique publicity firm that focuses on helping authors increase their reach, get noticed, and build on their brands. They specialize in scheduling interviews in virtually every medium and on an international level, to organizing your author signings and promotional events, as well as helping maximize exposure for you and your books. With a diversified platform and strategy for all genres, Creative Edge works with every type of author, from the New York Times bestsellers to small press and the emerging independently published. Look for them on their website at www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge, your brand, your future.
And that would be Mickey Mickelson and Avery Olive are the publicists with that company. And I just happen to be one of their clients. So I'm happy to run that ad. So
they're awesome.
They are totally awesome. Mickey's just the greatest guy.
He really is.
Okay. Is there anything that you would like to ask us as a new segment of the show? Ask Bobby. There you go.
Oh my gosh.
Put you on the spot, Bobby.
Okay.
Okay, here's my question. Bobby, did you know there was a new segment featuring you?
No, she did not. I could tell you that honestly.
No, but can I tell you about something I found on your website that was so new to me? It was a link to books to the number two read. And so I clicked it, and what an amazing resource this is for readers like me. Can you just take we're almost out of time, but this Books to Read is a very interesting platform for readers.
That is something that Draft to Digital offers, and Draft to Digital is a platform, an aggregator that when I put my books out there for Barnes & Noble and iBooks and Kobo and all of that, I just send it to Draft to Digital and they get it on all the different platforms. And one of the services that they offer is Books to Read, where all of the links are all in one place.
They're all
there's
there.
An author page. It's considered a universal link. And yes, I absolutely love it because, you know, a lot of authors think that readers only read through Amazon, but they don't. There are a lot of readers that use, you know, Barnes & Noble or iBooks or Kobo, Google Play, whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to direct them to one place and then let the reader choose where they want to buy my book.
And your podcast, the same thing. There's a link, you go to your podcast and then you see all the links for all the places is that a universal thing too? Where you go one place and it just, bing, it puts it across all those
platforms? I am the universal link for that.
You are the universal. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't even know some of those.
Morning. Yeah. I okay. Wednesday morning putting in the links for all of those.
I got that.
Okay. One last question for you, Christine, from me.
Okay.
Bobby Jean, I'm sure has a list, but I only have one more. Do you prefer? Now, I'm fairly certain I know what the answer to this is going to be, but for our new listeners out there, do you prefer indie publishing or standard publisher house publishing?
For myself, indie publishing.
Okay.
I think that it's great that there are opportunities out there for everybody to choose whether they want to be traditionally published, independently published, or hybrid. But I don't know. I would have to think long and hard before I went with the traditional publisher. Mm-hmm. I really like the freedom of having control of all aspects of my books and even the timeline and all of that. So yeah, I'm happy being an indie.
That is exactly the same answer we get from pretty much everybody, is it not, Bobby?
Yeah.
They love having control over their book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets in there. No editors get in there and change your story,
right,
or, you know, change your dialogue, or nobody does that. It's you have control over what goes out and gets published.
And it seems that even if you're with a publisher, still so much of the marketing of your book is going to kind of come back to you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sort of like, so then what do you get with, you know, then if you're going to have to do that piece, you might as well do the whole piece yourself.
Right. Now, I believe that that Tuscany Bay is going to be doing Miranda Oh's new book, her third installment of Chin Up, Tits Out.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And her books are so much fun to read. She's another author like you that just is fun to read. So I'm looking forward to getting that. I'm sorry?
I just had her on the podcast.
Did you?
Chatted with her last week or the week before. Yeah, her show's coming up the beginning of November, I think. Yeah.
She's a really neat gal.
Yeah, she was so much fun to talk to.
She had it really rough there for a while. But she pulled through, and God bless her. She's just a terrific lady. Much like yourself, Christine.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, look, we want to take a minute here to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know it's 10 o'clock there, almost 10 o'clock in the great state of Kentucky. And I hate keeping you up this late, but it's been an honor having you with us. And I hope you come back and visit again.
I would love to. Thank you. This has been great. I love talking with you again, Jim, and Bobby Keene. It was great talking with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, it's been a real hoot for me as well, and I really do wish that you would get a hold of Jerry and book another time on the show, and let's get some more of those Finn books out.
Yeah, we want number two.
Yeah, we want number 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Well, yes, but we'll take number 2 next.
Yeah. And again, thank you so much for joining us, Christine. It's been a hoot, and have yourself a wonderful rest of your night and rest of your week.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Okay. Be good.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was the fantastic Christine Raymond. And she's what a nice lady, huh?
Such a fun book.
Oh, my God. It totally is a fun book. And next week, Bobby Jean, there's a real treat for you.
Yes.
And who would be on next week?
Oh, my gosh. Gloria Casale will be with us, and she will be right here with me in my home studio on Halloween night. We're trying to figure out where to go so the doorbell won't be a bothersome all night long. And she is what an amazing background she has. And she knows everything about bio warfare, and she's written an espionage thriller, really interesting book that feels like it's just ripped from the headlines of today, where we are going after a nasty, you know, disease that could get out there to the world, it's a real great read.
Well, I will find out this week. And with that being said, Bobby Jean, as always, it's wonderful to talk to you and have you. And for the Writer's Block and myself, Jim Christina, and Mr. Russ Avison, wherever you may be, we enjoy your company. We thank you for listening, and we are out of here.